The humidity of a Georgia evening still clung to the air when the first call broke through the quiet of the Henry County Dispatch Center. It was a standard residential street in McDonough, the kind of neighborhood where the houses are spaced just far enough apart to offer privacy, but close enough that a gunshot should have been a clarion call. When I pulled onto the curb, the flashing blue lights reflected off the manicured lawns and the silent facades of neighboring homes. There was no outward sign of a struggle from the driveway, no shattered glass or kicked-in doors to signal the violence that had unfolded inside. Stepping across the threshold, the sterile smell of a well-kept home was quickly overtaken by the metallic tang of blood and the heavy, stagnant silence that follows a sudden death. I moved through the hallway, my boots muffled by the carpet, until I reached the master bedroom, where the scene shifted from domestic peace to a clinical nightmare. The victim lay exactly where the life had been forced out of her, a stark contrast to the family photos and personal mementos that decorated the room. In those first few minutes of processing the perimeter, looking at the position of the shell casings and the lack of forced entry, the weight of the task ahead became clear. Before the forensics team began their meticulous sweep, and before the first witness was even interviewed, I stood over the remains of Alana McCorkle. My initial walkthrough of the residence yielded more questions than answers, because the interior did not look like a house that had been ransacked. Valuables were still in plain sight, and the electronics remained untouched on their stands, which immediately ruled out a standard burglary gone wrong. I began the process of reconstructing the timeline of Alana's final hours by speaking with those closest to her and canvassing the immediate area for any unusual activity. Neighbors described her as a devoted mother and a steady presence in the community, someone whose life revolved around her family and her professional responsibilities. As I sat in the precinct reviewing her phone records and financial statements, a pattern of normalcy began to fray at the edges. I spent hours cross-referencing her digital footprint with the physical evidence found at the scene, looking for any deviation in her routine. The investigation led me toward the people who had unfettered access to the home, as the lack of a break-in suggested Alana knew her killer. I focused my attention on the movements of her husband, Brian McCorkle, seeking to verify his whereabouts at the exact moment the neighbors reported hearing a muffled disturbance. Every statement he gave was mapped against GPS data and surveillance footage pulled from nearby businesses. The more I looked into the internal dynamics of the household, the more I realized that the exterior image of a stable suburban life was a carefully maintained facade. Financial records indicated a mounting pressure that was not visible to the casual observer, suggesting a motive rooted in desperation rather than passion. The digital evidence became the backbone of this case, specifically the data recovered from the household's smart devices and the forensic imaging of personal computers. I spent days reviewing the logs from the home security system, which showed a series of manual overrides and specific timing that aligned perfectly with the window of the shooting. The most damning evidence came from a deep dive into the financial accounts, where I discovered a series of life insurance policies that had been recently updated or inquired about. I tracked the movements of funds between various offshore and domestic accounts, revealing a debt that Alana was likely unaware of. When I examined the forensic ballistics report, the caliber of the weapon used matched a firearm that had been registered to the household but was now mysteriously missing from the premises. I directed the search teams to expand their radius, leading to the recovery of discarded items that had been hidden in a remote wooded area, several miles from the home. The technical analysis of the cell tower pings placed the suspect's phone in that exact wooded location during a time frame that he claimed to be elsewhere. I sat in the darkened evidence room, listening to the recorded interviews and comparing the vocal stress patterns with the hard data on my screen. The evidence did not just point toward a suspect. It painted a picture of a calculated execution designed to look like a random act of violence. Every piece of forensic data, from the gunpowder residue tests to the recovery of deleted text messages, served to dismantle the alibi that had been presented during the initial interrogation. The legal proceedings were a grueling exercise in presenting technical data to a jury that needed to understand the complexity of the financial motive. Brian McCorkle stood trial for the murder of his wife, and I sat in the courtroom, Watching as the prosecution laid out the timeline I had helped reconstruct, the jury was shown the insurance documents and the GPS tracks that proved he had circled the block multiple times before entering the home to commit the act. Witnesses testified to the mounting tension within the marriage, but it was the cold, hard facts of the forensic evidence that carried the most weight. After several days of testimony and deliberation, the verdict was returned as guilty on all counts, including malice murder and aggravated assault. The judge delivered a sentence of life in prison without the possibility of parole, ensuring that the calculated nature of the crime was met with the full force of the law. I watched Alana's family as the finality of the sentence was read, seeing the mixture of grief and relief that often follows such a long road to justice. The case files were eventually closed and moved to the archives, but the memory of the quiet house in McDonough remains a stark reminder of the violence that can hide behind closed doors. The investigation concluded with the realization that no amount of planning could account for the digital breadcrumbs left behind in a modern world. Brian McCorkle began his term in the Georgia Department of Corrections, while the community of McDonough attempted to return to a sense of normalcy that had been shattered on that 2020 evening. The records of the trial remain a matter of public fact, documenting the tragic end of a life taken for the sake of a financial payout that never arrived.